Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Force Chatter. I'm Eric, and I am here today with Lou and Tim, but unfortunately, Tom could not make it tonight. But we are going to cover some, well, of course, it's not news. I mean, Lucasfilm would never do that to us, right? That would just, that would be inappropriate. So we have some well-substantiated reports from professional trade magazines that we are going to discuss today. And that includes Kathleen Kennedy's 3-year contract renewal and, more exciting, casting for a very, very popular character from Rebels that will be appearing on the Ahsoka series, which I don't really think is going to be a spoiler, but we'll give a little bit of a heads up when we get to that news item. First, let's talk this Kathleen Kennedy thing. So the rumor is, and again, when I say rumor, I mean like well-substantiated report. Kathleen Kennedy's contract has been extended for 3 years. Now, this did not come up on the Disney Plus Day thing because it's not a Disney Plus related news item. There has been some speculation that the important stuff that they were going to announce for Star Wars for Disney Plus Day, they're holding off on until they announce Kathleen Kennedy's contract renewal at D23 because they know it's going to piss the fans off. And then if they give the fans some content to kind of offset that being pissed off, then everything will kind of balance out and we won't have this, you know, whirlwind of chaos on the internet and the fan community.
You know, and that may, let me just throw something out there in terms of timing of things too, because I think timing, when you have multiple outlets for things, big outlets, you're then watering down what you have. So Disney Plus Day, they watered it down. And just speaking in terms of Star Wars, first of all, don't know why they decided to throw Book of Boba Fett trailer out there prior to Disney Plus Day. Foolish decision. They if they waited a week, it would have been done. So you brought up D23. D23, for people who aren't aware, that is kind of the cross-cutting everything all about Disney type of convention. It's really more of a news type of convention, though. It's not like they're, as far as I know, there's not really like a major like convention floor and a gazillion panels. It's more contained.
But I don't think it's just press, though.
But like still, it's
you, if you're a Disney member, right, like a D23 member.
You can get into it. Yeah.
Right.
But it's much more scripted and orchestrated and kind of in a box. But that said, it covers all Disney properties. So Star Wars, so I mean you have Disney Plus Day. And again, that's supposed to be everything that was on Disney Plus, which is also why we didn't hear anything about movies across any of the properties that movies that are being released cinematically. You know, they didn't talk about Star Wars movies, they didn't talk about Marvel movies, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to have D23. D23 is also viably covering your Disney stuff, your Pixar stuff, your Lucasfilm stuff, your Marvel Studios stuff, etc. And then next spring, we're going to have Star Wars Celebration, which is obviously very Star Wars focused. And then you also have your, I mean, all conventions, but particularly your major cons, especially San Diego and then, you know, New York City kind of at the end of the con season. That's a lot of stuff that I think they're really watering down. And they're spreading this stuff out across so much. And I think that becomes a problem. So, you know, Disney Plus Day, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot there. They're supposedly, quote, saving things up for D23. We're going to get some stuff there, but we're not going to get a lot because they have Star Wars Celebration coming up. And then how much is Star Wars Celebration going to say, well, oh, you know what? here's these two big items that we're not going to talk about at Star Wars Celebration because we're going to want to talk about those at San Diego Comic-Con.
I think on that last point, we've
it
seen...
It bothers me.
And I agree. And you're talking about a larger thing. To zoom in for just a moment about San Diego Comic-Con, we have been seeing Marvel pull out, DC, even pre-pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel pull out, DC pull out. Mm-hmm. Some other franchises kind of pulling back from San Diego Comic-Con a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if, and honestly, Star Wars hasn't had a major presence like the other franchises at SDCC, but because of Celebration. So I really think that Celebration, yes, SDCC, we're probably safe. It's just, it's been so freaking long. By the way, I still want my Celebration tickets. Still waiting for those to go on sale because I would love to go. And they haven't opened up press passes or anything like that yet either. So, anyway, it's really kind of frustrating. But I think that my frustration with this, I get it. I get the business decisions behind trying to figure out when the best timing is for releasing news, and I get that you want to save some big stuff for Celebration, especially because there hasn't been much other than the television stuff. Like, I'll come back to that in a moment, but we need something big for Celebration. We do, especially given that it's been so long since we've had a Celebration. And I get that, but they still have not been managing fan expectations very well. And I think the circle's back to Kathleen Kennedy as a leader. I've been Team Kennedy for a long time now. And I have to say between...
Yeah, same.
I mean, we're getting reports now about Patty Jenkins and the Rogue Squadron thing. Multiple reports, again, from major trade magazines, not just, you know, Joe Schmo's blog, about
reputable
sources saying that Patty Jenkins was not happy with the creative differences between her and Lucasfilm. We have the same thing kind of starting to leak out now about Rian Johnson. We had the Benioff and Wise stuff, the two guys that did Game of Thrones. They walked away from it. And then, you know, we've had other departures from Lucasfilm getting rid of people like Josh Trank, the two guys who did the Lego movie that were working on the Solo movie, did 75% of the movie.
Right.
And then there's rumors about Disney kind of coming in and micromanaging some of Lucasfilm, which honestly, given how Lucasfilm's been managing things, doesn't entirely surprise me. And listen, I hate to be ripping on Lucasfilm because we love Lucasfilm and we love Star Wars, and that's why we're here. But when you look at the business side of things, I have a lot of respect for Kathleen Kennedy, a lot of respect, and it can't be easy stepping in and taking over Lucasfilm after George Lucas departs. I'm not bashing Kathleen Kennedy at all, but I'm really not impressed with how Lucasfilm has been handling things. And I wouldn't mind maybe not renewing her contract. Of course, then you have a power vacuum, and who do you have fill that? I don't want to take Filoni away from the television stuff, because between the movies, the books, the comics, the television, the video games, and the collectibles, the merchandising, and I guess tabletop games, if you want to count the fact that X-Wing is no more, the only thing that's been going well has been television, and some people have kind of liked some of the comics a lot. Some of the comics. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been...
Here's the question that, that I have, though. Obviously, from an outside perspective, there's a performance or lack thereof, a coordination or lack thereof, et cetera, that we have seen. I think it's easy for us to point a finger at Kathleen Kennedy. And I too have been a big fan, but it's also really, it's very apparent that there is some mismanagement. Is it her? Or as you said, Eric, there's, you know, stuff milling about that Disney is micromanaging some stuff there. Are what we're seeing the results of that micromanagement, whereas it's the interference from Disney that's screwing up a lot of things?
Well, that's the whole what came first, the chicken or the egg thing.
And how long ago did it start too? I get the impression that Disney quote interference is pretty recent. And frankly, if I were Disney, yeah, I'd freaking step in because, you know, regarding the pointing fingers, the buck stops here with Kathleen Kennedy. I mean, even if it's not her fault, and I don't think everything is her fault. I want to be really, really clear about that, but it is her responsibility.
Sure.
So there's that. Yeah. But then Disney is the same thing. Marvel, Lucasfilm, et cetera, are Disney's responsibility. So it's got to be the same thing. And if they keep failing over and over again, somebody has to step in and say, listen, we have to fix the problem. And if that's what Disney's trying to do, then is it interference or is it correction?
Yeah. And on the Marvel side of things, there are occasions where we hear some of it's rumor. There have been a couple things that have been very direct. Every once in a while, Disney will flex a muscle with Marvel and say, we want you to do this. It's their business decision to make. They own the studio, whatever. But I certainly wouldn't say that there's any measure of micromanagement over on the Marvel side. I mean, it is very much Kevin Feige's shop. I don't know.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem like a power player. Disney, you know, Iger and company would be doing this across the board. Lou, what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've said this before that I kind of, you know, hey, they got to be planning this out because they spent a lot of money on buying the franchise from Lucas. So, you know, why would they not do the best they can because they paid for it, right? But we've seen time and time again, they're just not planning anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I didn't want to say that because I'm like, no, how could they not plan these three movies? How could they not plan at least a milestone to make sure this is a cohesive story? But they didn't. And it came out that they didn't. And I'm like, ugh. So now anything that I look at for decisions that they make, I'm always looking at it with a skeptical eye of, really? It's like, why are you doing that? And, you know, I've now not given them the benefit of the doubt anymore, I guess, in my own mind.
And that's a big deal.
Because I just don't know what to expect.
We used to just trust.
And more and more.
Listen, Marvel, I didn't think Guardians of the Galaxy was going to work. And now it's still my favorite Marvel movie. Didn't think Shang-Chi was going to work. And it was really freaking good. Over and over again, I'm looking at stuff great Marvel's movie. Doing, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And it's always good. They have earned.
Except
Ant-Man was incredible.
Ant-Man's
now, the second one, not as good.
Tim.
But they earned my trust. And like you said, Lou, I mean, Lucasfilm's kind of been losing my trust. Now, when they announce something, even if it's something I'm excited about, I'm like crossing my fingers and saying, please don't mess it up.
Well, they announce it, and then is it even going to happen? Because, you know, it's like, well, then this happens, and they change this, and they're changing the director, and they're changing. It's like, well,
there's so much that they pull away.
And it's just, bring up the Marvel thing again. It just, to me, it's like, how can one side of the house be doing things so right? And the other side is just like going, I don't know. You're doing that or let's get Bob to do that. You know, it's like, I don't know.
It is such a rare occasion that Marvel Studios will announce, hey, we're going to have a movie on, you know, this character. And Eric is going to be the director of it. And Lou's going to be our writer. Very rare occasion that they ever roll that news back. It's happened a couple times. But it's not very often.
That would be one of those cases where they would definitely have to roll that one back.
If that was a decision, was a bad decision.
On the Lucasfilm side, it's a rare occasion, first of all, that we get any announcements from them. And so often that when we do, it's like a few months later, you know what? No, it's not going to work out. Not going to happen. Yep. And then lately, we've even gotten more dirt on the sequel trilogy. You know, people who were involved creatively with the sequel trilogy saying, you had Kathleen Kennedy wanting this, you had Rian Johnson wanting that, you had JJ wanting this, and they were all completely divergent.
Right.
And, you know, it's a huge lack of leadership.
There are rumors about
leadership.
Abrams and Kennedy, I don't want to say going at it, but having creative differences of opinions where they both put their feet down, and I think Abrams finally lost.
I mean, the one thing they have going against them, probably a lot of things, but the one thing they have going against them is that the fan base is so fractured. I think that part of the reasons why they're making some of these weird decisions and pulling things back and changing things last minute and scared to set anything in stone is because the fandom is so volatile and so caustic from time to time that they don't want to come out and say, this is what we're doing. Because all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you're doing what? No, we can't have that.
Joe in the chat room said that hoping for some things from LFL is like hoping for season 4 from a sci-fi show.
Yeah, especially if it's on Fox. Or NBC. Yeah, that's very true. Also in the chat room, Fatmatic said, leave Ant-Man alone, Tim.
Well played.
Lou, give me a percentage.
I don't see that.
Give me a percentage of, in your personal opinion, the chances of Taika Waititi actually doing a Lucasfilm Star Wars movie. Now, this was an official announcement from Kathleen Kennedy out of her lips on stage at last year's investors call. Lou, what is the percentage in your mind that we're actually going to get Taika Waititi doing a Star Wars movie?
I'd say 50-50.
50-50. I mean, there's no way an official announcement from the head of the studio a year later should be a coin toss.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah, and I think Lou is an optimist. I mean, I'm shooting for like 20% that it's actually going to happen. And if it does, it will probably end up being the Kevin Feige produced film.
And see, I think Taika Waititi thinks outside the box enough that I don't think Lucasfilm's going to go for it. I think they're actually going to enter production, and then Waititi will walk out and say, no, guys, this ain't working. So I will say I'm not going to go above 50%.
Which is why I think it has to be the Kevin Feige film, because Kevin knows Taika. He knows his mind. He's used to working with him. He's also used to saying, hey, you know what? You do you.
And
I know it's going to make us money.
Feige is the only one who could say to whomever name we need to put in that sentence, no, this is what we're doing, period. Go back to your desk and walk away. Like, Lou?
Even just thinking about how things get announced and when things get changed and when things get put up, let's go back to, and I don't remember, I think it was Orlando celebration, where we had that last presentation we're going to go see. We're going to get two movies being talked about. Last minute, literally like the day before probably, no, we're not doing that because those guys aren't in there anymore. We're doing just
Rogue
this.
One in the Boba Fett movie.
Yep. Right. It's like, okay. So everything was done and set and ready to go for this. And last minute, we're going to pull these guys out and say, no, we're changing.
Yeah, they had a presentation ready to go. So we're talking concept art. We're talking production sets.
Right.
We're talking interviews with people who are actively working on it. Yeah. Gone.
So how do you get that far into things and that far down, and then all of a sudden, ooh, wait, let's pull this back and change that? I mean,
it blows my mind.
Yeah. And the problem is,
and you know what? If Kathleen is in fact getting a 3-year contract extension, I mean, first of all, good for her.
Yep.
And like you, Eric, I have been a big fan of hers. I know folks have pushed back on things. We have seen lots of red flags like the sequel trilogy and all these other rollbacks of announcements and that kind of stuff. And we've admitted, hey, there could be issues. We've chalked things up to, you know, bad luck or whatever. But it's just at this point, there was just such a freaking pattern of it that it's either her or there's some like Disney vice president who is a puppet master behind her. And she got a contract because whatever, she's willing to roll over and do
True,
what it is
but
that
I don't
they
think...
tell her to. And I hate to say that someone like her, with her personality and with her background, which is incredible. A lot of people like never knew who the hell Kathleen Kennedy was until she got this job. She was the friggin' executive producer on a gazillion movies
Every
that everyone
to come
loves.
Out of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Jurassic Park movies, all that kind of stuff. Her name was on it. And she was there because she's good at
what she does. And she's also not the personality type to roll over either. So I don't think she's just a puppet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that said, there is a difference between being a producer or EP on a movie and running a studio. These are two very different things. So maybe, you know, there are some people who are really successful in certain roles. they get promoted and you're like, why the hell is that person promoted? They can't do their job. Maybe she's just so ingrained in that EP role. She's just not good as a studio president. I think we're at the point
now where, you know, we started out with trust because she does have like an incredible resume. And I don't just want to say resume because even that diminishes it. I mean, she spent her entire career working her butt off in Hollywood and producing really great stuff. So there's trust there. And then things kind of, you know, got questionable. And we're like, well, yes, but we had this situation happen. And yes, but there's this situation. Like, there were very clear reasons why all the bad things that were happening. Like, Josh Trank, well, yeah, I mean, did you see the Fantastic Four movie? And some of the rumors about what production was like and dealing with him and stuff, I can kind of see, okay, maybe that didn't work out that well. And some of the rumors about how the Solo movie was going, yeah, I can see why maybe somebody needed to step in there. But the problem is, when you have to clean house on 9 out of every 10 productions, like at this point, it's no longer trust, it's no longer loyalty, it's wishful thinking. I really think that she is, for whatever reason, not really running Lucasfilm in a way that seems to be making a lot of sense, because it's just wrong turn after wrong turn after wrong turn. And I want to have faith in her and I want to support her. I have been supporting her. I mean, we've all kind of been, you know, because the internet is such a fickle place and everybody right out of the gate, we're like, oh, we don't want her. I'm like, listen, you're being reactionary. You don't like change. Right. Change is inevitable. We need change in order to grow. And I stand by everything I said then. We didn't have the data at that point to realize that there's a problem. Now we have data and there's clearly a problem. And we need to fix the problem. And I don't think keeping her in another 3 years is going to fix it. I hate to say it because I feel like I'm kind of being mean and cruel. Well, and I don't dislike Kathleen Kennedy, but I don't like the way she's been running Lucasfilm. And I think that we need a drastic change from the top down. And I don't know who to put in instead of Kathleen Kennedy. And I don't want Dave Filoni to get out from behind his desk and move upstairs. He's because good at what he's doing. What and oh my does. Gosh, it's the only thing that's working well. So let's, you know,
right.
There's one of two things going on. It's either that Disney meddling is causing her not to be doing the job we want her to do, which could be. I don't know. I mean, her track record is fantastic. She's done a great job with a lot of things she's done. But if you go back to, you know, Management 101 and look at something called the Peter Principle, people rise to their level of incompetence. You do really good at one job. You get promoted based on your results from that job. And now you're in a new role with new responsibilities and new criteria that you don't meet. And now you fail. So, if she was promoted past where she should have been, you know, really good at doing the EVP role, bad at being studio head. Maybe it's that's possible. The case. I don't know. But, you know, I hope it's the former, not the latter, because I like her. I've had faith in her. I trust her. But if she can't run the studio, whether it's because of her ability or because Disney is meddling or a combination of the two.
I don't want anything bad to happen to Kathleen Kennedy. And I think she's made some good changes in Lucasfilm. But I do want to see good things happen to Lucasfilm. And we haven't been seeing those, again, other than in television. Right. Yeah. And I'm not, like I said, I have no person I can think of that I would want to replace her with. Like, I'm not saying get rid of her and put X in there. I'm not saying I have a replacement, which maybe that's why her contract got extended, because maybe they don't have somebody else to go in there and do it. Maybe. But she...
And even if they got rid of her and quote unquote something bad happened to her, she's not going to be out on the street looking for a job.
Well, no, and I hope not.
She's well off. No. She has, I'm sure has a pretty good little nest egg and she'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I we need some drastic change to make Disney perform more like Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, and like Eric said before, I mean, there's been choices that Marvel's brought to the table. I'm like, how's that going to work? You know, and it does.
And they've earned
for one
trust.
Reason or another, it just does. Exactly.
And listen.
You know, I mean, because back to that comic I saw years ago, and it was heads of Marvel and heads of DC talking together, and DC's going, yeah, we're having a hard time coming up with the concept for the Wonder Woman movie, and, we don't know how to make a strong female character, and we don't know how to do this, and we're trying to get this done. And then the Marvel guy's going, yeah, our next movie's got a talking raccoon. You know, it's like, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. You know, it's like,
yeah. Another thing too, I just want to be clear, when all the hatred came out about Kathleen Kennedy very early on, and many, many others since then, I know a lot of it was born out of a position of misogyny, which is prevalent not just in Hollywood, but also in fan communities, especially in science fiction fan communities. And I want to be very clear, you know, bring another woman in, bring another minority in, bring, I mean, let's, I'm all for diversity in the industry and in the content.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the issue. Just want to throw that out there in case anybody starts making those accusations about anything we're saying. That's not what we're saying. I mean, heck, maybe Patty Jenkins is a good studio runner. I don't know. All I know is that so far, Kathleen Kennedy's experience with Lucasfilm has been consistently disappointing, I think is probably the most diplomatic way to put it. I don't hate her. I wish her the best. I would love to just sit and hang out with her for a while. She seems like a brilliant and very interesting person.
Oh, totally.
For one reason or another, and I don't even know what the reason is, has not been successful with Lucasfilm. So I have to say, you know, I saw this news about the 3-year contract, and my first thought was, well, that'll shut the haters up. And then my second thought was, well, yeah, but wait a minute. Maybe this isn't a good thing, though.
They're going to come out louder.
That's, you know, Star Wars used to be the envy of anyone trying to build a franchise. And suddenly, like, they put the brakes on hard. And, you know, Marvel popped up. I mean, it was inevitable that they weren't always going to be the top dog. But, you know, Marvel shot past them. Jurassic Park continued going. I mean, you've got tons and tons of franchises that just kept pounding the asphalt. And they, you know, they're now going laps past Star Wars.
Marvel has cohesion.
Something happened.
And Star Wars came through the door into Disney with cohesion and created chaos out of it.
Marvel also has a plan.
I guess that's kind of what I'm, that's what I'm getting at.
And that plan changes.
Sure.
Pretty frequently from everything that, you know, that we understand when new ideas come up or fans, you know, respond really well to something or there's a new trend or whatever, they continue to change and adapt that plan, which I think is another big strength that they have. Lucasfilm just doesn't seem to have one. I mean, you know, on the Disney Plus side, yeah, sure. I'll say that they have a plan. I'll say that Filoni's running things over there really well. He's doing a damn good job, which is why we don't want him to leave that position. But
can you imagine what would happen?
I don't know.
If Filoni's like, I'm sick of this mess. I'm out of here. look at that. No words. Exactly.
Kevin Feige will be the first person to call him, probably.
Hey, we don't have a position open necessarily, but our secretary or you know, somebody, he's working on it right now. We're.
Yep, that's right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think at this point, the only thing that we have to kind of look forward to and kind of sit back and just kind of bide our time is Celebration to see what gets announced, what kind of things they bring to the table. And then kind of judge from there how confident we are they'll happen and see what happens.
And the thing is, they can't ignore Celebration. I mean, okay, they've had their Disney Plus day. They're going to have D23. We know that they're going to have San Diego Comic-Con in the summer. But Celebration, they can't ignore because that's theirs. That is their baby.
Right.
And so they need to have a considerable list of stuff that they got to put into that.
Yeah, and they had plenty of time now because this was supposed to be a 1-year turnaround for the Celebration. It was going to be in 2020 after the 2019 Chicago show. And then it was, you know, now 2021.
There would have been zero news in that.
Exactly.
Loop. Nothing.
And I was frustrated and pissed off that we have to spend money again to go to a show a year later.
I mean, honestly, the last two Celebrations, so of the three, the first one had a lot of news. The second one, to me, seemed okay news-wise. Like, we had a big reveal or two and then nothing. Like, that was it. The rest of the convention was, it was carried by the celebrities and by the fan panels. And then, yeah, the Chicago one, honestly, like, I was really almost depressed that I didn't get to go to it. And then in hindsight, I'm like, okay, maybe it wasn't that bad. Like, I wanted to go and see you guys and see our listeners and stuff like that. But as far as, like, the content and stuff, I didn't really miss anything. They can't do that again.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, it was not a... Oh my God, I'm glad I didn't miss this show. You know, it was fine.
Yeah.
Both of our listeners showed up. It was great.
I mean, we had to bribe them, but you know, my mom's easy to bribe, so it's okay. All right. You know, we should move on to the other topic here, but I mean, what do you want to see just in a nutshell? And I'll throw mine out so you guys have a chance to think about this. We're not running on show notes tonight. This is just kind of by the seat of our pants. So what would you want to see done structurally at Lucasfilm? So, like, I guess for me, I kind of want to see Filoni retain control over the what we'll call the television stuff. I know people watch on their iPads and stuff, but, you know, the streaming Disney Plus content. And I want him, I mean, he's already kind of the Kevin Feige of that. I want that to continue. But we didn't talk about the move to Dark Horse for the comics. That seemed kind of out of nowhere. I mean, they take it away from Dark Horse and now they're like, oops, sorry. Was this yours? Yeah, here you go. Sorry.
With no news, no mention of if Marvel's going to continue.
Like, is it just for the kid stuff that IDW or not. Has?
It was just...
Or is it Marvel's losing it and it's going there? And said, like, we don't even know. That's the thing. Like...
Right.
It's bad enough being in the dark, and then stuff like this happens, and they're reversing decisions, and we don't even know the details about the reversal, let alone anything about why. Like, we don't even know the upfront details, like the front-facing public knowledge type of details. We know the when. Mm-hmm. It's going to be early 2022. We don't even know what. So the comics, I think... Yeah. Are a little bit of a mess. The High Republic thing, I don't know. Some people like it. I kind of feel like they've got a lot riding on it, including a television show. And it's an era that people are still kind of... people are not as dedicated to Star Wars right now as they were before. They're hesitant. They're cautious. Yep. They're more so than any other time I've observed in Star Wars fandom history. More so now than ever, people are being selective about, okay, I'll pick this up. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get that. 5 years ago, I don't care how much time it took. I would consume any Star Wars content I could get my hands on.
Everything.
Now, I don't even read all the novels. Mm-hmm. I still do watch all the video content, but I mean, if I had skipped Visions, I wouldn't have been sad about it. You know, things are changing. The fandom is changing as far as the individuals go. And High Republic, I think, was a gamble that it didn't hurt them, but it didn't get them anywhere either. I think at best it turned out to be kind of middle of the road. But we need a Kevin Feige to come in and to kind of oversee, okay, this is the theatrical direction. I'm going to work closely with Filoni because the two of them need to be on the same page. And we need to get things going in one cohesive direction. And if that direction changes, that's fine. But everybody's going to turn in the direction that we're turning. Maybe the solution is to put Jon Favreau up at the top with Filoni underneath him for the television stuff. Maybe it's to put Filoni up at the top and have Favreau do the TV stuff. I'm not really sure. I think...
I mean, right now, clearly the TV stuff, the Disney Plus content, and that frankly, is their strength. That is the only thing that is holding the entire franchise together. Because movies, what movies?
That's
there
the
are
thing.
No movies. There's we don't even know when the next movie is coming out or
which
what
is
it
ridiculous,
is. That's where
frankly,
we're at.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous, and I kind of think that I don't know that. Favreau's getting there, and I know he's a big Star Wars fan, but you see these behind the scenes things with him and Filoni where Filoni has to kind of explain to him some of the fan details and stuff. No, we can't do this because that's not what that alien species would do, and the fans would get upset. Like, Filoni gets it. And Favreau's getting there.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he would. I think he still needs some creative guidance.
But you know, you don't need the guy at the top to know all the nitty gritty details of everything going on. Agreed. The fans are going to know. You need somebody at the top who's going to be a strong leader and kind of run things and make sure things happen. Let the details of the creative stuff fall to people below you.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, you know, look at Lucas from him. I mean, you know, he's a great story guy, not such a great director. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have no problem with that. You know, make him do the creative content.
Bring George back. At this point,
I mean, you know, when you've got fans that are like, so the head of a 501st garrison, who, you know, obviously you figure, you know, they're head of a garrison, they march in the Rose Parade in armor, you know, he's one of the ones brought out there for that. You know, this guy's a dedicated Star Wars fan. Not so much anymore. It's like, I don't care about the new stuff. That it doesn't. He doesn't get online and talk about it and bitch about it. But just, I'm not going to. He's not going to consume it anymore. You know, for you to turn guys like that away, it's like, wow, you did something really bad. You know, I just don't get it.
I think they need some kind of course correction. And I don't know that Kathleen Kennedy is going to do. I mean, if she sticks around for 3 years and fixes things, then more power to her. You know, and I'll step back everything I'm saying today. Mm-hmm. I got no problem with that. You guys think any structural things you would like to see happen at Lucasfilm that you think would be an improvement, other than, I mean, the kind of the Feige thing, which is exactly why the television stuff is working, because that's what Filoni is doing.
I've got it. I know what they need. They need a whiteboard.
I mean,
right.
You're not
whiteboards oftentimes solve a lot of problems.
Or at least a notebook, like, you know, write things down, a plan.
Not once have we seen a whiteboard behind the scenes at any theatrical Disney stuff. We have for Marvel. We did for Lost. We do for South Park. I mean, everybody's got a whiteboard. Tim, anything?
Okay. Nothing that hasn't already been said.
Tim, explain to us, and quick, I don't consider this a spoiler, but a quick warning about casting for Ahsoka. We have a major character who apparently we have casting news on. What can you tell us?
Yes, this was released by Deadline. Stuff by Deadline is
yep.
The damn near truth. So it may as well come directly from Lucasfilm. It looks like they are casting Natasha Lou Bordizzo as Sabine. And she's going to make her first foray into live action stuff in the Ahsoka series. Just kind of a quick IMDb look at her. Folks may have seen her in, let's see, Guns Akimbo, The Society, Hotel Mumbai, Greatest Showman. So, you know, she's been in a handful of things. Not a real lengthy filmography.
Which I've been trying to forget.
Yeah, it looks like only since like 2016 she's been in major productions.
Guns Akimbo's.
Yeah, I've also heard it's good. I've not seen it. Hotel Mumbai is fantastic. It's
Greatest Showman.
Absolutely brilliant. Nah.
Not her fault, though.
So... obviously the disappointment here, or at least the thing that just kind of makes us wonder, you know, what's happening is that, nothing said at all about Tia Sakaar either way. Hoping that they at least kind of gave her a shot. I mean, especially considering that she is a film actress, mm-hmm. She very much looks the part, you know, and I think a lot of fans would have really loved to have seen her in the part. So hopefully she at least, you know, had some kind of a shot at it or, you know, there was some kind of a discussion, because seemingly, you know, Ashley Eckstein did not get.
Yeah. That's another thing that's come out over the last week. There've been a lot of kind of rumors of people kind of speaking up quietly behind the scenes. She was apparently, Ashley Eckstein never contacted once about even the possibility of playing Ahsoka live action. And rumor has it that she's a little, I don't think she's actively like pissed off in a belligerent, you know, outward mm-hmm. way. I think she's just kind of, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if she doesn't really come back for conventions that much anymore.
Yeah. So you talk about things that they could do to bring the fandom together and make us more cohesive and maybe even appease some people. Bring in Tia Sirkar for that role. Bring back Ashley mm-hmm. Eckstein. You know, because you got people that the fans are invested right. in already in that character. At least give them a shot and then have the actress come on and say, oh, no, it didn't work out for us. I'm not going to do the role. You know, but
I imagine Eckstein could have done Ahsoka.
Contacted.
I don't know that much about her live Maybe. Screen acting, but I've seen Tia Sirkar yep. in a few things now. I've seen her in two right. different sitcoms.
Right. Yeah, right.
And I know she's done stuff beyond that. She can actually act, not that it was ever in question, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
she's experienced in live action acting. And I think she would do well with Sabine. Right. Why yep. not?
But the kind of thing with that is at least bring that, you know, especially in Ashley's case, because she's never done live action.
She's done, right? Once, she did maybe. Some
yeah.
smaller things.
Yeah. So, but at least bring her in and have her be part of the creative team to make this decision. And then if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work yeah. out. At least she'll be on board then with the process. And yeah. hopefully a spokesman and a champion for the new person yeah. doing the role. But yeah, for this one here, for you know, Tia Sirkar, it's like she is an actress.
I'll do respect give her a shot. Was it Natasha something? Natasha Liu?
Natasha, yes.
I forget. Okay.
Bortizzo.
I'll do respect to her. And I hope that she does great. I mean, Rosario Dawson did great as Ahsoka. I think Eckstein also yeah. would have done great as Ahsoka, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but Dawson did really good too. And all due respect right. to Natasha, I think she'll do well, but yeah, where's Tia?
And I don't know if how, like, in terms of physicality that Tia has in terms of like any kind of martial arts skills or anything like that. Looking up a little bit of stuff here on Natasha Bordizzo though, she has apparently a considerable background in sports, martial arts. She has a black belt in Taekwondo, horse riding, figure skating, all sorts of stuff. And quite honestly, that's the level of physicality that I think we would really like to see.
I don't know, out of like a Jedi, yes, but Sabine's a Mandalorian. She shoots things and she blows stuff up, and she does really good spray paint. Right?
This is true.
I have no doubt that Tia could have handled
it. A person who is a... you're probably right, but I mean, somebody who is a martial arts person is more of a...
Can also do those things.
Fit for yeah. the Mandalorian, I think, than somebody who's not. Not to say that Tia couldn't do that. Right. I mean, I just think that you should have brought her in. And like Tim said, we don't know if she was involved in this process at all or not, but... Hopefully she was, and it'd be nice to see her come out and say, yeah, this is what happened, and we're not doing it, and we're going forward with, you know, some other way. But, you know, make her part of the process, because she's part of the family. She's part of the Star Wars yeah. family.
Joe from yeah. the chat room just posted a picture of Ashley as Ahsoka in our Discord server right now. And, I mean, she looks the part just as much as Rosario Dawson does. And, again, mm-hmm. I think she's
yeah, she really
probably
does.
A competent enough actress to pull off the role. I know yep. Tia is. I don't know. And again, I'm sure what we get is going to be good. Not complaining.
Oh,
but
totally.
Yeah, this is another... This is not inherently reason enough, I think, to think that Lucasfilm is kind of going off in a bunch of different directions. But given everything else, having things like this also thrown in, it's just more fuel to the fire, I guess. I don't know. I get why the fans are pissed in general at Lucasfilm. I don't mean this issue. I've not really heard a lot of complaints about this casting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping for Tia and, you know, like I said, I hope that she was at least considered for this role or somehow part of this process. Because if she got the same treatment that Ashley did, I think that gives a lot of fans, you know, some reason to be pretty ticked off over it. And, you know, like you said, the whole Rosario Dawson selection was not a bad selection. So this is not It's not a criticism of her. Mm-hmm. It's a criticism of the studios to not even consider Ashley. And I think that that's something that we're all kind of holding our breath for in this situation to see if Tia got the same treatment.
Yeah.
Although Tia, from what I heard, and I don't think I actually read the full on quote, but Tia did make a statement about it on social media, and she was very gracious Tia about the whole thing.
Has always seemed like that type of person.
But she's, yeah, yeah, she's very classy.
And you know, Ashley is too. Like, I have never really heard Ashley throwing a fit about the Ahsoka casting. And it's perfectly fine for her to be pissed off about it. I probably would too, but she's never like thrown a fit or gotten public and thrown temper tantrums and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's been zero issues there. And I'm glad Tia also is that type of person. You know, that, and that's the thing. There are so many people who are involved with Star Wars, especially the more modern Star Wars stuff. More modern meaning like this century from 2000 onward, who really appreciate the fans, who connect with the fans, who are grateful for the opportunities they got with Star Wars, and they treat that like a revered part of their lives. I kind of feel like you at least give Ashley a chance, you give Tia a chance, and if you say no, you say no, but at least they feel like they were appreciated enough to be considered and contacted and somehow made part of the process. I mean, like kind of what you were getting at earlier, you know, maybe bring him in and have them help choose the new casting or something, like some sort of creative direction. They helped build these characters.
Yeah. And you know, from a business decision, you know, they may very well have decided it at least in terms of Ashley. And again, this is all speculation because we don't know any of the behind the scenes stuff on this. They may have right up front decided, nope, we don't want her. She's not the person for the role. Right. We want to do something else. Okay, that's fine. But again, like you guys suggested, you know, maybe have the conversation with her. Acknowledge the fact, hey, look, Ashley, we love you. We love you in the role. Obviously, the fans love you. You really don't have a lot of experience, though, in terms of on screen. And we don't feel that this is like the situation to really kind of test that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we do want you because you are that character. You really embody that character. We want to make you part of that process. And this isn't just a feel good thing. There has to be, there's an acknowledgement out there that ever since Ahsoka debuted in Clone Wars, that Ashley Eckstein has been a huge proponent. She's been a huge advocate.
Mm-hmm.
She has brought countless fans, especially girls, into the fandom. She is like, I'm really close to saying single-handedly responsible for so much of that, that I think so much of that was simply of her own accord. I mean, there was so much of it that it wasn't like, you know, scripted media things. Like she wasn't being paid to be marketing. She's a fan herself. She's excited about the character. She wanted other people to be excited about the character.
Yep.
And, you know, she was part of that formula of success for Clone Wars, and there's kind of a measure of respect that garners, and I think that's kind of the thing that maybe even pisses some people off. Like, it kind of pisses me off more than anything else, that you have someone who was part of a successful team. They don't necessarily have to play the role
that
you know you've created, but keep them part of the team. Keep
you know, things moving any forward. Any company, not just media, but it can be tennis shoes or soda or whatever. When you make your fans feel like they're valued, that they matter to you, you build loyalty like nothing else builds loyalty. And Ashley Eckstein is one of the people in Star Wars who made fans feel valued. She made them feel like they mattered, whether it was on an individual basis. I've seen her personally interact with fans on individual bases. She's amazing. Or whether it's on a larger scale. You build the strongest loyalty you can possibly build. The flip side of that, though, is then when that loyalty feels like it's been betrayed, it's betrayed hard. Like, it's on, you know, And that's kind of what Lucasfilm's dealing with right now. Across the board.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and to turn her off on this, I mean, like I said, this is a way to get fans to have more, you know, love and affection mm-hmm. for Star Wars, not become, you know, adversarial with it. I mean, she goes to conventions and she did the Salacious Crumb cupcake stand at what Celebration in Anaheim, I think it was, and Orlando, I think. I saw her at New York Comic Con where she did the signing with E.K. Johnston for the Ahsoka novel.
Oh, yeah,
she signed side by side with the author. She signed my copy of the book, you know, Ahsoka mm-hmm. Tano, Ashley Eckstein. Right. I mean, you know, she is that character. And to have her not even be considered for the role, but to, you know, bring be part of the discussion. I mean, that would have been fantastic.
I don't know. I feel like Lucasfilm has some things they really need to fix. And again, the buck stops with Kathleen Kennedy. And I don't mean her any ill will. I don't certainly don't mean her any hatred. Absolutely not. I'm curious as to what somebody else would do in that role, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I love to see. Joe brought up a great thing in the chat room here. He said they could have done a series called Finding Ahsoka that Ashley could have hosted.
Mm.
Like that's cool. Or you know, even do that as like a you know bonus thing for the Ahsoka series. Right, you know, make it part of their whatever the hell the Disney Gallery. Yep. Thing is, and do like a part of that, like where she was, but she wasn't.
You know, and also in the chat room, Fitmatic, you know, made a post that a lot of times the actors doing the animation voiceover stuff doesn't
almost
get the role
never
live action.
And oh, true. And
most of them are not full on actors, and I get that, but I don't think anybody's been as involved in the creation of the character as Ashley Eckstein has. I mean, she embodies Ahsoka. I mean, you know, she is, it's her.
And you know, to all your voice actors out there, you know, we mean actors in the more traditional sense, right? I mean, you guys are definitely actors, no doubt.
Exactly.
Like I can't do, definitely. We podcast, I've got a microphone in front of me. I've tried doing those sorts of things a little bit. And like, no, I don't know how good a voice actor I would be.
And it's just like a lot of physical actors are not great mm-hmm. at voice acting because they are so involved with the physicality of their motions and everything that they can't do it. Some can do it pretty well, but you know,
so,
not
you know,
everybody
all due respect
can.
To voice actors, we're not trying to diminish them at all. But you're right. Ashley help create the character,
two different things
and then on top of that, I mean, she's done a little bit of acting. Tia Sarkar has done. You know, sitcoms on one of the four main networks, like two of them. One of them, one of the best-selling sitcoms in the last few recent years. She was on The Good Place. She can act. She is one of those actors you would traditionally consider for this role. So, anyway, we're gonna drop it there. We don't want to beat this into the ground too much, but I don't know. This was just. There was a lot of stuff come out this week about all these little pieces behind the scenes, and the fans are frustrated. I don't know whether anybody at Lucasfilm listens to our show. I know some people have in the past. Don't know if they're going to listen to this one. If anybody does, just, you know, on behalf of fans, understand we're frustrated and we just want to see some course correction that gets everybody moving in the same direction. You know, it doesn't have to be the same timeline, the same events, the same, you know, wave three Thanos endgame sort of thing. I mean, Star Wars has got stories in various different points on the timeline, but there still needs to be some cohesion and not just chaos.
We want to see success. We want to see success. I mean,
we're
that's yeah. And the thing is the stuff that the stuff that we've said in this episode, by and large, is nothing new. You've heard this stuff from us before because we have been frustrated. It's our own frustrations. It's a reflection of the frustrations mm-hmm. of a lot of other fans out there. We just want to see, you know, we're not looking for the sequel trilogy to be redone. We're not looking for any of that. Like, it just
we're trying to present
crap.
This as constructive criticism,
but moving
and supportive
forward,
criticism.
Yeah.
We support mm-hmm. Star Wars.
Yeah. moving forward, mm-hmm. we want to see good things. Learn from your mistakes. We all have to. I do every day.
We, you know, and Lou and I, same thing. We learn from Tim's mistakes every day too. So I think that's important. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Force Chatter. Let us know what you think in the comments. You know, try to keep it civil. Again, this isn't about hatred. This is about improvement. This is about opportunities to lead Star Wars back to being the success that we know it can be and that has been in the past. And we all hope it will be again. And I'm confident it will be again. I'm just curious as to how long it's going to take to get there. But, you know, try to be constructive with it. But post it in the comments here on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/randomchatter. If you haven't already hit the subscribe and like button, please do that. And post in the comments. Let us know what you think. Even if you're listening to this on an audio podcast, you can still go over to YouTube and hit the buttons and you know, do comments there too. That way it's all in one place and people can see what other people have posted. But we're kind of curious as to what you guys think about this. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What is it you hope is going to come from the future of Star Wars from the business side of things, from business point of view? So, post in the comments, let us know. And if you want to join the conversation in Discord, go to randomchatter.com/Discord. And we are going to cut out here. For the people in the chat room, stick around. We're going to be back in a few minutes with an episode of Random Chatter. For everybody else, I think we might be taking next weekend off for the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S. We haven't really discussed it. We may be here. We may not. So stay tuned for that. Discord would be a good place to find out more about that. But we will see you soon one way or the other. So until then, take care.